Blog Talk Radio. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have you ever faced abuse, addiction, debt, fear, guilt, heartbreak, illness, loneliness, loss of a loved one, rejection? The shadows of at least one of these has darkened the path of each of us at some point in our lives. On this show, you will hear stories and testimonies that will provide you with tools to help you out of the gloom of those dark places. Welcome to Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thanks for joining me on this 15th day of September, 2015. This is the first episode of this show, although it's really a continuation of my previous show, Literally Speaking, with some refocus. There's so many people to whom I owe a few words of thanks as Step Into the Light debuts today. A huge thank you goes out to my former co-host, Derek, who sparked my interest in Blog Talk Radio. Derek's moving on to a different season in his life, but he's been invaluable in helping me set up this new show. I'd like to thank Marlene Bagnell. She directs the Colorado and Greater Philadelphia Christian Writers Conferences. She's been an inspiration for many years. Cindy Sproles and Scott McCauzy with Christian Devotion Speak Up provide an excellent show every week and have served as a model for this interview format show. Harold Arnold and Lynn Pinder are two people I met at the Philadelphia Conference in July. They shared their experiences and offered advice. I'd recommend that you check out Harold's podcast at pursuitofinfluence.com, and Lynn, she does author interviews at blogtalkradio/authorsontour. Thanks to my husband and all of my other family members who have been supportive of me in this new venture. It's time to introduce today's guest. Carolyn Chereau spent 23 years in the medical profession as a physician assistant. She has studied counseling, sociology, and psychology. Her counseling brings healing to clients through listening, prayer, theophostic, and this is a word that Carolyn will define for us, which I probably mispronounced, and face-to-face ministry. Carolyn is also an author and blogger who freelances for a blogging contract company and has her own blog on her website, Cords of Grace. She writes skits, newsletter articles, and short stories for children and adults, and she is published in Thanks to My Mom, which is a March 2015 release of the Chicken Soup for the Soul anthology series, and also in an August 2015 Bethany House anthology. She has three novels in various stages of crafting and publication, and we will discuss them later on the show as well. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi, Patty. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here today. I'm very excited for this first show. Carolyn, let me start out the morning by asking you, I thought it was interesting that your website is entitled Cords of Grace. What is the significance of that title?
Well, when I started thinking about a name for my work several years ago, Cords of Grace just popped into my head. It wouldn't go away. I really loved the sound of it. I wasn't sure of the significance of it. And then when I was starting to think about business cards and logos and such, the cords of the picture of the hot air balloon came to my mind. And I thought, wow, Cords of Grace, okay. And what it is the basket of the hot air balloon is where we all live. The Holy Spirit is the balloon itself, and the cords that connect the basket to the balloon are the cords of grace, because grace is the only way that we're going to get above our circumstances and be able to connect with God. Otherwise, if we didn't have grace, the Holy Spirit would be inaccessible. And
you know, I love it the way that with us writers, God seems to kind of put these ideas into our head that we can take and use to project his message to other people.
Absolutely, and he gives us pictures, which is wonderful, because there's a picture says 1,000 words, you know?
Yes, exactly. That's true. That's very true.
I just want to add that grace is the key to this whole thing. If it wasn't for grace, where would we be?
In a mess.
Mm-hmm. In a mess.
That's for sure. Carolyn, you practiced a successful career in the field of medicine as a physician assistant for a number of years. It was over 20 years. And yet, during all that time, you suffered from a severe mental health issue. Would you share the nature of that illness with us?
Sure. I wish that the dissociative disorders weren't even listed in the DSM manuals, because most what they call severe mental health issues, like bipolar, schizophrenia, et cetera, they really don't know where they came from. But we do know where dissociation comes from. I had a dissociative disorder that I grew up with as a result of childhood trauma, and I was doing fine. It did not really manifest until I was about 45 years old. But dissociation,
wow.
Yeah, dissociation is not really a disorder, but more of a reordering. It's a God-given defense mechanism to children in order that they can survive severe trauma. What happens is the child undergoing a severe trauma, part of the mind literally turns away from seeing it so they don't have to realize it and acknowledge that it's actually happening. That part of the mind that turns away holds that memory, and it's inaccessible to the rest of the mind, to the conscious mind. And then that dissociation follows throughout the life until the memories start leaking. Now, leaking is actually a very normal function of aging of the mind. At some point, they start leaking, and then, of course, that's when you start realizing, hey, something really is wrong here. Before that, it's really not that intrusive into your life, except for certain symptoms like flashbacks or whatever. Now, if a child does not learn how to dissociate before the age of about 8, they really won't learn how to dissociate on a regular basis. So it's got to be early childhood trauma. And part of the mind handles the confusion, which is one of the major parts. Part handles the anger, which is another major part of the trauma, and part the fear. Those are the three main effects of trauma. And the conscious mind lives life as though the trauma never happened. That's the dissociation, because the mind literally does not see what happened. Now, the thing is, children only have three options for defense. They can die physically, they can go crazy, or they can dissociate and or split so that they can sequester the memory, so they can live a pretty much normal life. And again, the memories don't really start, the problem doesn't really start until the memories start leaking. That was happening, as I said, when I was about 45, and I started having true symptoms of PTSD. I'd actually been having flashbacks in dream form my entire life, but I never knew that's what they were. I just thought they were weird dreams that kept coming back.
Sure.
And, so I also developed other symptoms of PTSD, of course, but that was the main one.
Oh, my goodness. And, Carolyn, I wanted to say you had expressed to me that you haven't really publicly talked about this experience except in maybe church venues. And I want to thank you for having the courage to come on the show this morning and share with us, because I'm sure there are people out there who are listening to this who probably had no idea what was wrong with them. So I want to thank you for that. And
well, you're welcome.
You explained to me.
I really do want to be able to get out and start talking about it, because there are a few people who do, but they seem to be very sequestered. I want to get the word out so that the truth can come out.
And that's absolutely essential. You had talked about, when you sent me some information, this all... Well, let me let you go ahead and explain what caused all of this. I'll let you go ahead with your story and how you want to unravel what happened.
Oh, you mean when I was a child?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, not to go into gory details, because I don't want to give credit to the enemy.
Exactly.
When I was very young, a cult got a hold of me. My immediate family didn't even know anything about it. I know that much. And I was basically traumatized, mostly mentally and emotionally. There wasn't a whole lot of physical trauma memories that came back. But I did sequester or repress all the memories because I was so young. I was able to do that. And I have to tell you, too, that people that learn how to repress the memories, they're actually, in general, pretty intelligent people, because they have to learn how to do that. They also tend to have a strong constitution, a strong desire to live. Otherwise, they would just give up. And so I experienced this at a young age, but God was watching, because he had my father move our family out of that state when I was very young. I was 2.5 years old. The major part of the trauma actually took place before I was 2.5 years old, but on the physical realm. But the thing is, they open doors to the spirit realm, to the demonic realm, and that torment can keep going for the rest of your life until God intervenes. And also, they can, it's almost like astral projection, they can access your spirit and soul through the demonic entities. And I have memories of things happening at a later age, 10, 12 years old, that I know did not happen. Because they happened on the spiritual realm. But the memories came back during therapy and counseling ministry, and I asked God several times, is this real? This can't be real. And he used ways to prove to me it was real. Mm-hmm. It really happened. Now, the thing is, the memories may not make sense to an adult, and often don't, because they're seen from the child's perspective.
Sure.
They can also be a true memory, but being interpreted by the child can be false. But the memory is the issue. The fear associated with the memory is the issue. And the lies that we believe that cause the fear and the pain is the real issue. What actually happened is not the main issue. It's the lies, the pain, the belief that we have about them. So I lived my life. Had no idea what was going on. And then when I was, again, about 45, the memories started leaking. I experienced a lot of anxiety, depression, some flashbacks that were different than the dream flashbacks. Did not know what was going on. I was scared to death because I developed severe vocal cord dysfunction. When you develop vocal cord dysfunction, what happens is the muscles that surround your vocal cords, they go into real tight spasm. If you've ever seen a picture of vocal cord anatomy, those vocal cords will literally slam shut, leaving you only about a soda straw size hole to breathe through, which is terrifying because you can't get air in or out. It was not like an asthma attack. And it usually happened at night. I was terrified that I was going to die alone in the dark and nobody would know what happened. But I would go, you know, pull myself out of bed and go into the bathroom and just pray that it would release. Finally, I learned just to relax and let it come back to normal. And, of course, I don't know how long it lasted. It mm-hmm. seemed like forever, but I don't know how long it actually lasted. But that happened night after night, started happening during the day. And I didn't know what to do. I'd been in medicine for 12, 15 years, had no idea what was happening to me. So I went to my doctor, and he sent me to a specialist, a pulmonary specialist, and it took her, I don't know, a minute or two to diagnose me. And she said, you have severe vocal cord dysfunction.
Wow.
And then she explained it to me with pictures, which is great. I love pictures. And she said, and she also said that there the characteristics, the most common characteristics of someone with severe vocal cord dysfunction, other than from being a physical illness, are female, ages 30s and 40s, professional, perfectionistic, and tend to repress their emotions. She said, does any of that fit you? And, of course, I basically said, well, all of the above.
You know? There you go.
Yeah. And so she told me that it was very commonly experienced with women who had sexual abuse, and I thought, well, you know, I do remember a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. She sent me to a speech therapist to deal with the physical aspects of it so I could abort attacks before they actually took full effect. Also recommended that I see a mental health person. Well, I'm working in a clinic. I am not going to go see a mental health person who can see the rest of my chart, and my other people can see my chart, and I'm not just doing it here. I contacted a lady Christian counselor that I had seen before for other relatively minor things, and God was there too because she was praying about it. She put me at the top of her waiting list. I didn't even know she had a waiting list. So it took all of a couple of weeks for me to get in to see her. Yeah.
Sure.
And second visit to her, she just looked straight at me and said, do you realize you're dissociative? And I, my response was very intelligent. I basically said, huh?
Having worked in the medical profession all these years, you're thinking, not me.
No, I didn't know anything about it. I was totally ignorant. Because I was in medicine. I wasn't in psychology, after all, you know. And
well,
I also
there you
was,
go. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't in neurology either, which would be the other aspect that would see it. I had no idea. And you got to remember, too, and you may have experienced this in your RN career, that you can see things in other people that you can't see in yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I started seeing her, and she closed her practice after a couple of years, and then I started seeing a guy who I knew already from working with him as a ministry volunteer. And total of between the two of them, it took 11 years of every other week almost counseling, ministry, prayer. So there you have it. And I finally got to the end of it in 2010.
So this was a long, long process for you, Carolyn.
Yes.
Coming out of that dark place and finally finding some light.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just like any journey from darkness into light, it's like a long tunnel.
Yes.
And you're in the darkness, but you can see the light up there, and eventually you start getting into a little light and a little more light, a little more light. That's what keeps you going, is knowing that I have light, and it feels great, and I may not be at the end, but I'm going there. As long as you don't turn around so all you can see is darkness, you're good.
Well, I can identify with some of what you said, Carolyn, because I did work in psychiatry all of my nursing career.
Oh, okay.
And when I experienced some depression, I didn't even realize I was experiencing depression until I walked into our unit's morning report one morning and sat down and suddenly burst into tears. Didn't even realize that I had been on the verge of so much depression until my coworker said, we've seen this in you for a while. And the short and long of it is that I went and had some counseling, and the counselor wanted me to see my primary physician for antidepressants. And I said, heck no, man, I've been given this stuff for years. I'm certainly not taking it. Well, then, of course, you begin to see the need for it. And I did, and I got over what I was dealing with. But I know exactly what you mean. You become very blind to it.
You do, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you had sent me some information, and I'd like you to share that with our listeners as to what the percentage is in society of people that suffer from this condition.
Okay. From a couple different sources I've read, the estimate is anything from 1 to 3% of the population. So if we go to the high end of that, that is almost 9.5 million people in this country who suffer from or experience dissociative disorder that is severe enough to be problematic. And that can come from usually ritual abuse, but it can come from other things too. And while we're on the subject of widespread dissociation, I have to remind your listeners and everybody else that dissociation is actually a continuum. It's not a point, a specific thing, because everybody dissociates. If you go on a highway and you're driving and you realize all of a sudden, hey, I missed my exit, it's because you had a mild dissociation. Your brain took a break because
well, that happens to me a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know. So that's actually a mild form of dissociation, because people freak out when they hear the word, but everybody dissociates. It's just when it gets up to the higher levels that it's a problem.
I know that my husband and I are Colorado Rockies fans. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that this season, but anyway. And I don't know how many times, Carolyn, it's pretty much a routine for us to, you know, turn that Rockies game on every night. And I don't know how many times we'll be into, like, the third or fourth inning, and I'll think, oh, my goodness, I can't even tell you who's pitching tonight. Because I just, you know, I've had the game on. I've been listening. I know the score. I know when something exciting happens. But to actually be into, and I'm sure that's a form of dissociation. I've got my mind on the show or something going on or whatever, something else going on, and I think, wow, I'm not even paying attention here. So is that kind of what you're talking about in a way?
You betcha. We call it a mind vacation or zoning out, anything like that. That's a very mild form of dissociation. You bet.
Exactly.
So did you want me to speak about a ritual abuse in specific at this point? Or
if you would, Carolyn, I would very much like to have you do that. If you're comfortable doing that.
You betcha. Ritual abuse is the most severe type of abuse. It really encompasses all the other three, which are, of course, physical, emotional, and sexual.
Right.
Ritual abuse can happen with a group that's a group of family members, like you've heard of some of the fundamentalist cults that do strange things with their children. It can be actually satanic, you know, a witch's coven or something like that. It can be cults. It can be any formalized group that can perform rituals, ceremonies, whatever. The worst of it is when you have a cult that specifically and purposefully causes a child to go through such severe trauma, and again, mental, physical, sexual, spiritual. Their trauma is so severe, and they are trying to control the child's mind. We call it trauma-based mind control, more than ritual abuse now, because that really encompasses more of it instead of being so specific. Now, the trauma-based mind control, again, the child has repeated traumatic events that are severe enough to cause the mind to shut off or to go away from that event and to continually dissociate from the memory. So we have the cults, the family groups, and here we go. As I said before, the abuse can occur in the spiritual realm as well, because they open doors to the demonic. Now, the majority of the survivors are female, and the average age of onset of the trauma is 18 to 24 months. That always makes people wonder, why do they start so early? Well, there are several reasons. One of them is that girls mature more rapidly than boys. We know that. Both physically and mentally. The girls also tend to be more malleable. They can be molded to the desires of the cult, so to speak. And that age is when the individuation and development of personality starts. The cult wants the child to be dependent on them, to identify with them as essentially as God. They do that so that they can have power and control. They may actually program the child to be the equivalent of a temple prostitute. I actually have one friend, acquaintance, that was her father married a lady that he did not know was a Satanist. And that cult programmed people, girls, to be breeders for the cult.
Oh, my.
And I have heard of this in more than one circumstance. This is the only lady I know who was threatened with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they also use a process called sandwiching in order to help the, help force the child to forget. And what that is they have the child do something fun first, then they put the trauma in there. And it doesn't take there. It can be just a few minutes for a young child because you know as well as I do that young children don't have a real good conception of time. It
mm-hmm.
can seem like forever, and it's actually 5 minutes. And then after the trauma is over, they have another positive activity, like let's go for ice cream or whatever. So the child tends to remember the last but not what happened before it because of the forced dissociation. And they do this, again, for power, for control, to get to their own ends. It's incredibly selfish. And the, from what I understand, this type of thing actually started in the United States when these cults, not started, but increased in the United States, when these cults read about and learned about Dr. Joseph Mengele, remember the Nazi angel of death doctor, so to speak? He was their role model because he actually did this to children and practiced techniques to make them dissociate, to gather power over them. And
wow.
this is spiritual power as well as physical power.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness.
And that's what they do. And they do it in the dark. They do it in secret. And nobody, but we don't know about it. And also, when we do start learning about it, like when the memories start leaking and we get ministry, people don't believe us. Or they think we're
nuts. Exactly.
But we're not. It's all real to the extent
that
the child.
I'm sure they put a lot of emphasis on this is our secret.
Oh, yeah. They actually will tell the child, this didn't really happen. If you think it really happened, you're nuts. You're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they also threaten that if the child tells anybody, well, if you tell, we're going to kill your mother. That sort
yes.
of thing.
Uh-huh. Wow, and that wields a lot of power over a child.
Absolutely.
Carolyn, I felt you pretty much told us how you came to your point of healing, and it took so many years. And at this point in the show, what I would like to do is kind of take a little break from our interview and make our listeners aware of where they can find you on the web, where they can find me on the web, if they would be interested in doing that, you maybe. But I know you can be found, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe your website is www.cordsofgrace.com.
It is.
And we will discuss here in just a few minutes what you have to offer on your site. I know that, like my site, yours is always evolving, and I think our websites are our cyber home, and just like our own home where you get new furniture and you repaint and you do all these things, I think our websites are always in a process of being remodeled and all these different things are added to them. So I think that's just kind of a natural progression of having our cyber home. But I would encourage listeners to go to Carolyn's website. And like I said, we will be talking soon about what she has to offer there, what she will be having to offer. Carolyn can also be found, because I have her page right up here, and I just friended her on Facebook at Carolyn Shero. The last name is spelled Sherrow. As for myself, I can be located at pattysheen.com. That is my website, and I would love to have listeners come over. I have a couple of blogs on there, and I'd sure enjoy to have you subscribe to my blogs, to where when I do put up a post, you will receive it automatically in email. I also have the information about the Blog Talk Radio shows, what we have coming up on the schedule and so such. So come on over and visit. I'd love to have you stop by and leave me a comment. Let me know you were there. I also have a presence on Facebook. Actually, I have two presences. One is Patty Sheen Gonzalez, actually, is my real full name. You can find me at that personal page, and you can also find the show page at Step Into the Light. All you have to do is type in Step Into the Light and you'll get it. And once again, I will put notices about the shows up on that Step Into the Light page, and probably on my personal page as well. And then also, I have a presence on Twitter. I don't believe you're on Twitter, are you, Carolyn?
I'm not on Twitter, but I do have an author Facebook page.
Oh, okay, good. We'll share that with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's under C.F. Shiro, which is the same name on my website. And on there, I talk about my writing. And unfortunately, I haven't written a whole lot on there lately, but I talk about my writing and the publication and if I have book signings, stuff like that.
Very good, very good. Okay, and I started to say on Twitter, you can find me at Patty Sheen. So there you have it as far as where we are located.
In cyberspace.
In cyberspace, yeah, there you go.
I love that term.
Yes, yes. I wanted to ask you, this is a segment that I would like to incorporate into the show that I would like to ask all of my guests, actually, Carolyn, and I'm going to ask you, is there any particular inspirational quote, Bible verse, or person that precipitated a turning point in your journey from darkness into light?
Well, yes. I accepted Christ when I was 10 years old. I accepted him out of fear because of a skit that I saw. I was scared to die, so I did not accept him out of love like a lot of people do. But over the years, I found Jeremiah 29:11, which is, of course, I know the thoughts I think towards you. I thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. And I had held on to that for a long time. And then one day, mid-90s, I was at a Malcolm Smith retreat. We had some free time. And so I thought, well, I'll read the Bible. I looked it up, and then God took my eyes to verse 14, which says, I will release you from your captivity. And I'm thinking, oh, captive? What? Me? I had no idea. But I took it, and I kind of tucked it away in my heart, thinking, well, okay. And so later, when I started seeing counselors and going through this stuff, that verse kind of helped me say, okay, he said he would release me from my captivity. I believe it. I accept it. Let's go on.
Very good. How do you reach out and help others who are victims of similar circumstances, Carolyn? And I know you have a couple of ways that I'm sure you would like to discuss.
Okay. Well, the first thing I do is one-on-one ministry. I'm not a licensed counselor. I do what we call prayer ministry, and that is, like I said earlier, listening prayer. And we ask God questions. We listen to his answers. He reveals his truth to the person. And this is very, very healing. So I do that, the one-on-one. And I also write in my blog. My blog is not opinion pieces. My blog is teaching material. So I really want to reach out to people who need that. And my whole goal with my blog is to say, hey, between your visits to your counselor, read up on this, learn this, get used to dealing with God on your own, because getting dependent on a counselor is not a good thing. Getting dependent on God is an excellent thing. So I have that as well. What I do is, I ask God to lead me to the people or the people to me who need what I have to offer, to what I have from him that goes through me and out to them. At this point, I got to tell you, my ministry centers on Ephesians 5:11, and that is my theme. Have nothing to do with the fruitless works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's my current theme. God spoke this to me a while ago, and I adopted it. But I like to say it like this. The Bible says to expose the works of darkness, not ignore them and hope they go away.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I love working with people who have similar experiences to mine. And nobody has the same experiences. That would be impossible. But people who have had trauma, that have problems with having parts of their mind that have split off, people who have gaps in their memory. I love working with these people because psychology can label. Psychology cannot heal. Only God can heal. And we lead people to God. We let God speak to them. We represent them to God. And he removes the lies. He removes the pain. The memories are still there because those memories are history. They're not going to change. But he removes the pain from them. And that is so healing. I also really try to listen with his ears, to speak his heart, and to see them through his eyes, because that is how his love goes from me to them. They can respond to the love of God. People can try to work up love, and it doesn't happen. But God's love is real. God's love is eternal. And that's pretty much it.
What you brought up about the fact that those those past experiences don't go away, that's a huge piece too, Carolyn, of forgiveness.
Oh, and I'm glad you brought that up, because forgiveness is so important. If you have a perpetrator who has hurt you badly and you do not forgive them, you refuse to forgive them, you're just hanging on to them and letting them hang on to you, and who needs that? And
right.
People don't have a good understanding of forgiveness. And plug, that's one of my PDFs that's available, explaining forgiveness.
Yes, and I want you to talk about that. But first, I need to have you, and I have a big note here. I need to have you explain that word, theophostic. And did I even pronounce it correctly?
You did, theophostic. Theophostic is a coined word. Ed Smith, who is the founder of Theophostic years and years ago, was working with support groups for women who have had sexual abuse, and he was very frustrated because they weren't getting anywhere. They kept going over the same issues. They would say the stuff in their head, or they would say the stuff aloud that was true, like, it wasn't my fault, I was just a child. But their hearts remained the same, and he was frustrated. He called out to God and said, "What?" And God showed him what he ended up calling theophostic, which is what I talked about before, going to the feelings, having God heal them. But theophostic is taken from two words, theo, meaning God, and phostic, meaning light. So Ed Smith put those together, and the title actually means God's illumination or God's light, because man cannot illuminate or light up what needs to be revealed during sessions. God does that. God does the work. We're just along for the ride, and to kind of coach the person that we're working with.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to take just a second here. Of course, this is my first show on my own, so I did want to welcome we have some guests in the chat room, and I know we had a couple of guests on the call line as well, and I just wanted to welcome you, and I don't know who you are because all I have is a number. I don't have a name. But I just wanted to welcome those who are listening and say thank you so much for tuning in this morning. A couple of phone numbers I did recognize, but that number's gone now. So I don't know if maybe that person is on the chat room now. But anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge those people and say thank you so much. Carolyn, you have all kinds of resources that you are going to be offering on your website. I'm not sure if they're available yet, but you're in the process of getting them there. Can you tell us about them?
Sure. First off, let's say what is available. For anybody that signs up for my blog, and I do blog weekly, it's a declaration. What it is a very powerful tool of spiritual warfare. I used to say these words when I was under attack, especially in the night, of course, because that's when the enemy likes to attack. But saying them out loud makes declaration to the spirit world that you are a child of God, that you belong there, that he has bought you, etc. I wrote this out, and I've been giving it to my clients because it really is a very powerful declaration. So if you sign up, that's available for free. And then I also have the PDFs, which are not available yet because my store won't be open until a week from tomorrow, which will be the 23rd. And those include subjects on trust, forgiveness. I have 5 sections on abuse recovery, covering different aspects of abuse recovery, soul ties, generational curses, boundaries, and grief. Now, that's a dozen altogether, And as an introductory offer, every PDF that is on my site in my store will be sold on a pay-what-you-want basis through November 23rd, so 60 days from the opening of the store. You can just pay what you want and
wow,
get it.
Wow, can't beat
off
that.
Web. Yeah, that's right. And then I'll be adding more as they get updated and all. So that's what will be available. Mm-hmm.
So you said a week, what was it you said, a week from today?
A week from tomorrow. It will be November 23rd.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, September 23rd through November 23rd.
Very good. And I also wanted to bring up to listeners, and I failed to do this earlier, that on my website, under the Blog Talk Radio tab, I have a page that's called Websites and Social Media Information, and it's all the information from all of the guests that I had on the previous show and that we will have on this show. And therefore, I know when you're listening to a show, you don't always have a pen and paper handy or your computer or whatever to write down what you've heard. So if you want to go to that web page in the next day or so, I will have Carolyn's information up as to where she can be found on the web and the date that her PDFs will be available and all that. So you don't have to memorize what you just heard. You can just go to the website and it'll be there. So I just wanted to bring that up, that there is a resource for listeners to go to obtain information that they may have heard in passing and didn't get a chance to write down or whatever. So
right.
Also want to remind listeners, if we have some listeners that have just tuned in, and that's not uncommon here on Blog Talk Radio, you are listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen. And our guest today is Carolyn Chereau, who is an author and also a counselor. And we're going to be talking about her writing career here in just a minute. Carolyn, I understand you do have some material that is published and is out there. And I'd be interested to know, when did you become interested in writing? Is this something that, did the writing bug bite you when you were young, or was it later on in life?
Well, I've always enjoyed writing, but I never ever thought about doing it for a living. I just never went there because my entire life has been developed towards science. When I was in junior high, I decided I wanted to make science my career, and then, of course, gravitated toward medicine and all that. Now, when I was working as a PA is when I really started going to writers' conferences and such. And it started off as, this is a hobby, this is interesting, I'll learn more about it. And then learning more about it, learning that I could actually write fiction as well as nonfiction and not be totally off the wall, that's when it really started taking off. And I've been attending writers' conferences ever since, at least one a year.
Very good. And I know you have a 3-book series in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You bet. It's funny that your web show is called Into the Light because my trilogy is entitled Out of the Darkness.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
And you're my first guest, so see, that works out well.
Yay. There we go. So the first title is called Dark Heritage. And the tagline is, a psych ward is a bad place to be when ancient evil invades the modern world. These are spiritual, psychological suspense books taken from a lot of real-life stuff, although, of course, it's all fiction. And with this one, a lady who was raised in voodoo by her grandmother became an FBI agent, but she had to leave, and now she's working as a museum security guard, getting accessed by a fertility cult, unknowingly, because she's been programmed and she's dissociative, and there's a lot of stuff that happens.
It sounds like there might be.
Yeah.
Set up a good plot there.
Dark Justice is the second one, and it line is, can justice be found when both good and evil are tried and both are found wanting? That is the doctor from the first book goes to Kenya on a medical mission trip, which I have done, and gets captured along with her Ethiopian Jew counterpart, and they are captured by Islamic terrorists. A lot of stuff happened
in
there. And then the third one is called Dark Redemption. When evil attacks a young family, how many can be redeemed? It's the story of the couple from the first book who go along with their daughter and her friend to a cruise and find out that they have been stranded by their taxi driver or somebody, and they don't know what's going to happen. There's evil there because there is a witch who is throwing curses on them, and so they have to fight that. All of my books deal with some aspect of cult activity and the results of that and the battle for that.
And I was going to say there's obviously intense spiritual warfare issues in those books.
You betcha. You betcha.
Yeah.
I don't call them spiritual warfare books because they're more than that, but there are those issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like with most novelists, you're drawing on your own experience.
I'm drawing on my experience and some experiences from my friends.
Right. And you're taking that to educate others through fiction, which is something that I just love.
Exactly. My hope is that people will be entertained by the fiction, but also will see the truth of God in here. And it's a real adjunct to my ministry and my website. It all weaves up together.
Well, we always have in our books, we're always supposed to have what we call a takeaway. That's one of the things that, as you know this already, Carolyn, your editors are going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
What is your takeaway? What message are you conveying here? And is this a message that has, in what unique way are you conveying the same message that someone else has?
Well, the message is,
and
that
you can draw on your experience, and that's amazing.
The takeaway message is that we can leave the darkness. It doesn't have to overwhelm us.
Yes.
But we have to do it through God. God is the answer, the healer, the one who can take us from the darkness into the light. That's the ultimate message, the overarching message for all of them. Each one of them has a more specific message, such as avoiding the works of darkness, or be sure that God is not mocked, you will reap what you sow, that
right.
sort of thing.
Right. I know I put a statement of, I forget what I called it, but on the website I created a page where I talk about what I believe and why I created this show and all that, and I make several statements about light, and one of them is God is light.
Mm-hmm. And we are his light, too.
Yes, yes, and his light is supposed to shine through us.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it doesn't always, I know, with,
yeah,
with me anyway. I think we all try.
Yeah, and the thing is, we have to let it. It's not like we have to make it. We have to let it. And that's hard for us because we're used to doing things.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What is your projected date for release of any of your books? Do you know that yet, Carolyn, or is it still kind of not really?
I wish I could tell you. Dark Heritage was under contract with a publisher, and they had issues on their end, so the contract expired. I resubmitted it to another publisher July, and so I'm waiting to hear from them. And the thing is, I got no good information for you, but I'm hoping it will be out sometime next year. For
very
the first
good.
One. And then, of course, the others following after that, depending on when they're accepted as well.
Sure.
And when they're finished, I got to work on them.
Now, in the meantime, tell us a little bit about and I didn't put the name of it in there, you had a story that was in one of the Bethany House anthologies, and I don't recall the name of the story or the name of the anthology, if you could share that with us.
Sure, and I also have a picture of it up on my website on my About My Writing tab.
Oh, okay.
The book is called Encountering Jesus, and I wrote about a time, this was when I was about halfway through my healing journey, I knew what had been going on, and I was incredibly frustrated and anxious, and Jesus showed himself to me as my warrior. And that is the name of the selection, I Am Your Warrior. And I was so excited, I found out that it's also mentioned in the introduction.
Very good. I don't think I've seen that anthology. Of course, I haven't looked for it, but I will.
Well,
and then,
out
of course,
for about 6 weeks, I guess.
Oh, so it's very new.
Oh, it is. It's pretty.
That's
pretty
right.
New.
You did say August of 2015. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good. And then your other one, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, was thanks to my mom, and I can't remember the name of the actual story.
The name of the story it's on in that book is called For the Love of Learning, and it's just lovely story about how my mom helped me learn things when I was a kid, because we are both just lifelong learners. We love to learn new things, and she taught me how to associate the names of capitals with words that brought them back to mind. I guess they call those mnemonics. Anyway, it's a cute story. I really like it. And I talked to my mom about getting the facts, and she said, "You're making me sound awful good." I'm like, "Well, Mom, it's true."
Oh, that's sweet. Well, Carolyn, I can't believe it, but we are fast running out of time here.
Oh, goodness.
We have about maybe 4 minutes left, so I wanted to take that time to thank you so much for coming on the show. You were a very brave soul to come on my first solo show. I thank you for that. I wasn't a bit sure that the technology was going to cooperate with me, since this is fairly new to me. So I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for sharing so much of your personal experiences, Carolyn. And I'm sure that I firmly believe that God will direct the people that need to hear this to this show at some point.
That is my prayer.
Maybe not today, but it could be 6 weeks down the road. It could be 2 years down the road. Who knows?
Absolutely. So, thank God for archives.
Absolutely. And once again, I want to thank you so much. Thank God for people that hurt and have lived in darkness and are willing to share with others how they came back to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank God you so much for that.
You're welcome.
So you have a wonderful day, and take care, and God bless you.
Thank you, and bless you too.
Okay, goodbye now.
Okay, bye.
Okay, listeners, next week we have a gentleman by the name of Bob Osler. He is a chaplain, and he holds an associate's degree in mortuary science and pathology, and he responded to the call when they called for chaplains at the 9/11 event. So he will be here to speak with us next week. I'm looking forward to interviewing with him. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in today. I want to remind you that the show is archived, and that if you need the URL again, go to my website. It's pattyjean.com, and it's right there on the very first page. You can click on the picture, and it'll take you right to the show. I want to remind you also that information about Carolyn will be up on my website, on the website and social media page under the Blog Talk Radio tab. Her website, once again, is Chords of Grace. I would urge listeners to go and check out what she has with her PDFs and her resource material. I want to leave you with this thought. When you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you for listening to Step Into the Light. God bless you. We hope to have you back next Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time.